All right, Ken, well, it's no secret that this quarter, Full Focus is focusing on wellness and yes. health.
Yes.
And we've invited a lot of you listening into joining us on this challenge and this journey. But there are five things that if you do them, if you like enter into these five mistakes, you're hosed on your health goals.
Yeah. Let's dig into them because they're really common mistakes.
They're extremely common.
Most people don't even realize it.
We might even be doing some of these.
No. No, never.
No, you're perfect. Okay.
Yes.
Got 100%. It. Okay.
If you're a coach, aspire to be a coach, or want to use your influence to help other people achieve the double win, then you have to listen up. We're hosting a brand new, completely free webinar called Land More Coaching Clients, Transform Lives, and Stand Out in a Crowded Market. Five impactful lessons from a seven-figure coach. The title says it all. Come join Michael Hyatt and Marissa to learn how to help others succeed. You've already gotten incredible feedback on the impact of this content, and if you know and love the Full Focus Planner, then you're already a step ahead. To register, go to fullfocus.co/lessons. That's fullfocus.co/lessons.
Welcome to another episode of Focus on This, the most productive podcast on the internet, so you can banish distractions, get the right stuff done, and finally start loving Mondays. I'm Ken Freire here with Marissa Hyatt.
Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday.
How are you?
I am doing great.
Wow.
Yes.
Sounds...
I'm convincing myself.
Questionable?
Well, by this time, I have theoretically detoxed so much sugar.
So much.
So much.
Okay, so just to bring you guys up to speed on what we're talking about, if you listened to the podcast 4 weeks ago, yes. you would have known that we here at Full Focus are doing a Q2 wellness challenge, and we're calling it the Big Three Wellness Challenge. And it's basically where we have three daily habits that we are doing. We're doing 30 minutes of movement each day, 10 minutes of mindfulness, and we're giving up one thing in our diet
for 70 days.
For 70 days that does not serve us. We've also invited all of you to join us. It's not too late. In the Full Focus Planner community, if you want to join us, just, you know, comment, let us know. You can tag me and Kim. We also have like a tracker that you can print out and post on your fridge and track your progress throughout these 70 days. We're doing 10 weeks of this. But we know either if you're in this challenge with us or if you're just, you know, somebody within our listener base, you might have some kind of a health goal. And health goals are kind of different, I feel like, than other types of goals. Like there's a unique set of things that come up related to health goals, and they're often habit goals. And so there's a lot of things that go along with habit goals that are different. And we know that if you're a Full Focus Planner user, you might be using it to track your health and wellness goals. And so today we want to talk about five mistakes that we want to help you avoid.
Yes.
Within your health goals.
100%. And especially you might be thinking, hey, I've done these for Q1 and I messed up. And sometimes you don't even want to go back to them. We encourage you, jump into your health goals and avoid these mistakes.
Yeah.
Mistake number one is lack of time.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Is that at the end of the day, one of the biggest hurdles is people don't find time in their schedules to actually decide when they're going to do this and how long something takes.
Yep.
So they might be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to run a marathon this quarter. Well, it's like, man, you need at least 2 or 3 hours every morning to run. Where are you going to fit that in?
Yep.
Is it what stuff are you taking off your plate to add this?
Yeah.
And a lot of times people don't think about that,
yep.
which is what kills them when it comes to actually creating this goal for them, this health goal.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's definitely lack of time, but it's more so like kind of lack of planning your time well.
Yeah.
And so we talk a lot about this, making sure that you're planning in time to your week for accomplishing your goals. So this goes beyond just your health and wellness goals, but typically your health and wellness goals take time. Like they're not usually something, I mean, most goals are going to take some level of time, but health and wellness, I mean, especially as we're talking about habit goals, like you have to invest your time in order to see results. You're not going to just like overnight see success typically. You're going to need to plan this out, whether you want to exercise in the morning. Maybe it's like you have a goal around your nutrition. Well, typically the time is cooking time. Like you need to factor that in or meal prep time on the weekends or grocery shopping even. There's some hacks that you can do with that to cut down on that, like getting your groceries delivered. You could use something like Thrive Market where you get like pantry staples delivered at a discount. You know, you could do like those meal kit things, you know, I actually just recently signed up for one of those. It's the Factor one.
Oh yeah.
Have you ever tried that? And I just did it cause they had some crazy special and I was like, well, this will help cut down on my time and I have some goals and this is in alignment with my goals. And that was a huge hack for me, but you kind of can't get away from some level of time commitment. So how do we deal with not making this mistake? How do we overcome this?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, you already mentioned it. Just be realistic. Like, know how much time certain things are going to take, right? The second thing is use your ideal week. Like, look at your schedule and exactly when are you going to do this. Here's a common mistake. Even my wife and I have made this past week, right? She wanted to try to go to the gym early in the week. So she's waking up at 4:40 in the morning to get to the gym class at 5.
Whoa.
I know.
No.
That's hardcore.
That is hardcore.
That's a hard pass. That's what that is.
Yeah, 100%. She's like, you should do it with me. I'm like, no, someone's got to take care of the kids. But my class is at 6. So we're like, oh, you know what? I think we can make it happen. Like, we can work that out. Like, you just get here and I'll get there a few minutes late. It's like, it has not worked out for me to go to the gym at all by the time she gets home, right? But it's just, we're not being realistic with our time, right? So planning an ideal week is going to be the huge thing where you just say, okay, what does this actually look like where it's beneficial for you? And then if you have a partner, that it works out for them as well. And the other thing that I would say is just make sure you add margin to everything. Because we assume, kind of like the story I was just telling you, we assume everything's going to be locked in perfect. Like you'll be able to come in and out of the gym, but like something happens, you see someone, you start talking to them, 10 minutes go by.
Well, and even like for me, so I work out at home and even for me, so I typically work out in the afternoon. Our work day here at Full Focus is typically roughly 9 to 3. So I love to do an afternoon workout. It helps me kind of like end my work day, usually around 3:30, and kind of like give me a good pick me up before the evening. Like I feel a good sense of energy, especially if I'm going outside to work out. Like that's awesome in the afternoon to do that. But I also have to build in margin, even though I'm not driving anywhere or whatever. But like the other day I was all geared up to go work out, get ready. And then my nephew called me and I have a little 2-year-old nephew who is my little favorite thing ever. And he FaceTimes me all the time. Well, he FaceTimed me and he wanted to talk to me. And I was like, okay, well, I'm supposed to be working out right now, but I had to build in that margin so that I, you know, can flex when something like that happens. And I'm not like, it totally doesn't derail me. And then I can't get to my dinner plans on time and the whole thing. So I try to build in basically a 30-minute buffer on either side of my workout. If nothing else, like 15 minutes just to give myself a little time.
Yeah. One way I like to think about it is like you have the actual activity. We always take account for that, right? Where it's like, oh, okay. The workout's 30 minutes, but now you got to think about the pre-workout. Like what's all the stuff that needs to take? And then the post-workout, like, do you need to take a shower? Do you need to redo your makeup? Do you need to do all that stuff? Right. People don't think about
this. I was going to say, it's always, you're like, oh, I'll just, the shower will be quick or I won't hit traffic. It's really, and I have to tell you, look, I'm not the same kind of achiever as these two here. So I'm speaking to everybody to go. It's amazing how 15 minutes of like improper planning can mess up your entire day.
Totally. Oh.
And so I'm just going like, you have to do the shower, you have to do the workout, you have to do the stretching. And if that changes for you, depending on what you're up to, the season of, you know, it's hot outside, you're running in the morning or whatever, you have to account for all those things. Otherwise, the whole day can go by.
Like trainer who she's like a virtual trainer, but she always says that planning is not half the battle. It is the battle. Ooh. And I think that's so good because it's so true. Like that is so critical for us to set ourselves up for success is to plan appropriately. If you don't plan, like plan to fail. Yeah. Exactly.
Which actually leads to the second thing, right? Which is loss of motivation.
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about this loss of motivation.
Well, this is so easy, especially within our health goals, is that we feel like in order to like go do the workout, we have to feel motivated to go do the workout. But the truth is, if you've ever worked out a day in your life, you know that actually the motivation to work out hits at the end of the workout.
Yeah.
That's when you go, oh my gosh, like I actually do really like this.
I did this.
Yeah. I feel good. Now I want to keep doing this. I definitely want to show up tomorrow. I feel amazing. But then tomorrow comes and then you're like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't have the motivation.
Yeah.
And I think this is where so many people get it wrong, specifically with your health goals, is we expect that we're supposed to have motivation in order to go want to do the thing. But you don't actually need any kind of motivation. What you actually need is discipline.
Yeah.
And discipline and motivation are really, really different. I mean, I feel like motivation is that spark, that sense, again, it usually happens.
The excitement of wanting to do something.
Yeah, it usually happens for things that are pleasurable. And often when it comes to our health goals, there's a lot of things that are maybe not pleasurable. Like we have to go do something we don't want to do. We have to go do a hard workout or we have to give up something or make a difficult decision. And so motivation typically isn't going to happen. You certainly can do things like get really in touch with your motivations, your whys, what's at stake, all of that, which will help your motivation. But the truth is, I think the biggest thing that you need when it comes to your health goals is discipline. Is making that decision. I've already committed to this. And so I'm choosing to move forward with this. And I want to share a principle that I've shared before on the podcast, but it's been a long time. Like it's probably been, I don't know, 6 months or something since I shared this. But there's this principle that is called 99% is, and you might have to bleep me out, but we're all adults here. Okay. 99% is a,
oh my gosh,
100% is a breeze. And I think that this is where people get it wrong, is they are only 99% committed to that thing. And they think what's going to get them to 100% is motivation. But the truth is, if they were fully committed 100% all in, there's, you know, you burn the ships, there's no going back. That's when it's easy to show up. That's when it's easy to not grab that other, you know, candy from your child.
Why you got to look at me?
Or for me, you know, if I'm out with friends, you know, one of the things that I gave up
bread.
During this, no, it was alcohol
and bread
and not bread. But when I, you know, go hang out with friends and maybe we're all, you know, at dinner and they're having a cocktail and it would be very natural for me to be like, okay, let me have a cocktail. We're hanging out. Like who cares? But if I am only 99% committed, yeah, you better believe I'm going to need motivation and all kinds of things to keep me saying no. But if I'm 100% in and committed to that goal, then it's not hard for me at all. I know, oh no, that's not even an option on the table. I've already taken the option away. So now my brain doesn't have to continually decide over and over and over again, am I in or not? It's like I already made the decision and now I just go do the thing I already committed to.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question about, I think some people will go, well, I'm not very disciplined, or there's all kinds of limiting beliefs we have and self-talk that we do. So the question would be, how do you get to 100%?
Well,
because right, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like what I was saying of you have to basically take any other option but that thing off the table. So for instance, if your goal is to complete a marathon, let's just say, and you are 100% committed into that, it's likely because you do have a strong motivation of why, and every other option of not going and completing that marathon, you've taken off the table. So you've kind of taken out insurance, so to speak, on this thing. So those limiting beliefs that you might have, you've probably tried to work through those, whether it's through reflection or journaling or with a coach or one of our certified pros maybe that you're working with, but you've worked through those limiting beliefs. The other thing that you can do is if you know, okay, for me, I'm giving up alcohol. There's going to be certain times where I might feel more inclined to want that thing that I've already said I was committed to saying no to. So how can I take out insurance against those moments? Yeah. How can I tell myself in those moments, no, you're good. You don't need this thing. So when I'm out with friends, oh, I already know, I've already told those people that I'm not drinking. So they're not going to try to get me to drink. Or if I'm going on a date and somebody asks me out on a, you know, a drink date, I already have a response of, and I've already thought through alternative date options.
Yeah.
So those are things that you can do to make sure that you're 100% in and you're not like, well, maybe there's this one time, maybe just this one situation.
Yeah. To summarize what Marissa is saying that I found really helpful for me, especially when I feel like I don't have the discipline for something, is I may not have the discipline right now, but I'm going to create the environment to help me get disciplined.
That's good.
Right. Mm-hmm. So exactly what she was saying, like I may like, if I wanted to go running early in the morning at like 5 a.m., right? The environment that I needed to create is, well, I need to wake up or go to bed at like 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Or 9 p.m., sorry, and wake up at 5 a.m. Like that's creating the environment to be disciplined. Sometimes what's happened with people who are trying to create disciplines is that they're actually fighting against their biology.
Right.
Right. Because of just natural decisions that they make. And by biology, I mean like, again, waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning. If you're going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're fighting your body wanting to need rest.
Right.
So like that just makes it a lot harder for you to be disciplined.
Well, it goes back to just like planning.
Yeah.
If you set yourself up well for success, you're going to be successful. But when you fail to plan, like you plan to fail. I mean, it is that kind of a recipe. And I think discipline, it is a skill. So that is, you know, it's not something that like immediately you're like, I'm a disciplined person, but you become disciplined by continually showing up.
Yeah.
And staying committed.
So practical tip here, I would just say, if you want to become more disciplined, figure out the environment that you can create right now.
If you're a coach, aspire to be a coach, or want to use your influence to help other people achieve the double win, then you have to listen up. We're hosting a brand new, completely free webinar called Land More Coaching Clients, Transform Lives, and Stand Out in a Crowded Market. 5 impactful lessons from a 7-figure coach. The title says it all. Come join Michael Hyatt and Marissa to learn how to help others succeed. You've already gotten incredible feedback on the impact of this content. And if you know and love the Full Focus Planner, then you're already a step ahead. To register, go to fullfocus.co/lessons. That's fullfocus.co/lessons.
Let's move forward. We talked about 2 so far, loss of motivation. And the first one was lack of time and then loss of motivation. The third one is inadequate nutrition.
Yes.
Oh, we all have a problem with this one.
Let me just start. Let me paint a picture for this.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to run. Let's say someone says they run a 10K or whatever. And so they're going to ramp up their training. They're going to do whatever, but they're also mindful that they, you know, they go, I don't want to eat all this food. That's bad for me. I don't want to eat all the sugar. I don't want to eat all the bread, whatever. And so what ends up happening is they might not eat enough to start. And we mean me.
Yeah.
And they, so you find yourself not eating enough to start, which makes, to Ken's point, the environment for success and discipline more difficult because you don't have the energy you need to even get started. And then when you do get started, you don't have necessarily the fuel in the tank to continue to improve and get better. And then either you're frustrated by your lack of improvement because you haven't eaten enough food, or you find yourself eating too much food, or, and I think this is actually the problem in this specific scenario, is that these goals of like weight and some sort of endurance activity are very difficult to run at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's that as well. So that's the idea of nutrition related to activity is going, you gotta eat food.
Well, you have to fuel your body. I think that if you have health related goals, you've got to fuel your body. Food is not the enemy in any way, shape or form. Going on a super restrictive diet is typically not the answer. You know, what we need to do is focus on eating real whole foods that are going to fuel our body with the energy we need to go live the life we want to live. Yeah. So whether that is you want to go participate in a marathon, well, you're going to have to fuel your body in a totally different way than if you're not running a marathon.
Yeah, if you're just doing a walk every day.
Yes. Right?
Which this actually leads to the fourth point, because I think both of these are related. The inadequate nutrition and lack of knowledge. That's the fourth one. Because most of the time, people just don't have the knowledge to actually do what's right. Like I know, for example, for me, when I used to go on restrictive diets, I would cut out all the bad stuff, but I wouldn't know what the good stuff is to put in. Like I'd be can I eat this? Can I eat the carrot? Can I eat the almonds? Right? Like I just didn't know, right? Yep. Like what's that? This happens a lot with snack eaters. Yep. If you're a snacker, right?
Right.
You get rid of all your snacks, but then what do you add?
Yeah.
Right. And if you try to Google healthy snacks, they'll be like, oh, Doritos have these like no bake healthy versions. You're like, no.
There's so much greenwashing in our food system. It's such a crazy. This is a good thing to think through is if you're struggling with a lack of knowledge, there are so many incredible people out there who like social media would be a great place, honestly, to start to learn to get educated. One thing that you could do as well at the time of this episode coming out, this documentary will have been out. But if you've never seen the original Food Inc. documentary, they're releasing a second one a decade later. Mm-hmm. And it will have come out in April. So it'll be out by the time that this is airing. And you can Google that, Food Inc. 2. And that is a great documentary, very reputable, you know, resources within that who are talking about the food system and how to go back to those whole real foods. So that's kind of like super basic, but really educating yourself, I think, is important, both from a nutrition standpoint, you know, fueling yourself with whole foods. You can seek out a health coach if you need real in-depth health help, you know, in this area, which can be extremely helpful, especially if you're somebody who has chronic illness, which is a lot of people nowadays.
Yeah.
And usually diet is very personal and very specific to each person. Like even within whole foods, you might have sensitivities to things or struggle processing certain types of food, even if they're quote good foods.
Yeah. I know several certified pros who are in the Facebook group, who are huge health nutrition nuts. And like, I'm thinking of Ken, he's a triathlete, not me. There's a different Ken, Carol, right? She's like a fitness trainer, like all these people who, if you have questions, more than welcome to reach out to them,
totally. Right?
Like reach out to them in the full focus planner community. Cause they can give you the knowledge. Cause sometimes if you just go out and just try to research it yourself, it could be overwhelming.
Well, there's so much conflicting knowledge out there too. Yeah.
So just finding people that you trust, right, is extremely helpful. The final thing that I would say just in this area of inadequate nutrition, lack of knowledge, we're talking about educate yourself. I would just say choose one of those things and just take a baby step.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we go so much on information overload and we don't implement.
Yep.
And the best thing you could do is just start taking one step at a time.
Well, and this is why within our Big Three Wellness Challenge, we're not asking you to, you know, totally change your diet and, you know, transform it. We're just saying pick one thing that you want to commit to for 70 days that you know isn't serving you. And it could be anything. It could be alcohol. It could be sugar. It could be potato chips. It could be fast food. You know, one thing out of your diet that isn't serving you and remove it. And the truth is, you're likely going to replace that with something that's better for you.
Yeah, 100%.
The one thing that I want to make sure that people to also walk away from is we didn't talk about joining classes as it relates to knowledge, and it's cost efficient. It also solves a couple issues related to like when you schedule things, you have accountability. There's a lot of like benefits to joining like a group fitness class, a spin class, a dance class, something like that, where people are going to be there to support you and educate you on, hey, you're doing that wrong, or you're going to hurt yourself, or that's great, that kind of thing.
Well, and it's a great place to get accountability. Like I personally don't do these, but I know a lot of people who do, and they will often call you if you don't show up. Like if you said, hey, I'm going to be at that class.
That's scary.
And then you don't, they'll call you and be like, where are you at?
Oh, I mean, I have a group text.
But they don't all do that for people.
Not all. Yeah, not all.
Like, no, and you have to say that you're going to be there in order for them to know. I mean, they're not just calling you out of the blue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my gym, we have a more group class. It's at 6 a.m. and all of us are in there. And when someone's not there, we always give each other a hard time, you know, like, hey, where'd you go? Or I'll text a friend. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna be there tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm not. And they're like, bro, what happened? I'm like, my bad. I would say that I have not reached any of my health goals without accountability.
Same. Mm.
So that has been like the key to it.
Totally.
Which leads to unrealistic goals. That's the fifth one, which is just like, sometimes we set too ambitious of a goal.
Well, I'm really guilty of this.
Yes.
Okay. Like, this is probably like my biggest downfall is that I, you know, like to think I can accomplish 15 new habits all at once, if I put it under a cool name, then call it something. Yeah. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can totally do all these things. And then, you know, talk to me in 4 weeks and it's a big fail.
Yeah.
Because you can't sustain all of that all at one time. You have to incrementally get there. And you were just talking about kind of like taking those baby steps, pick one thing. And I do think that when we have unrealistic goals, like we're just shooting ourselves in the foot. You've got to have a realistic mindset. Yes, you know, here we teach about smarter goals. And one of those, it's got to be risky. It's got to be outside of your comfort zone. So that it pushes you, it's got to call something out in you that previously wasn't being called on in order to accomplish it. But it shouldn't be in what we would call the delusional zone, meaning where it's so unrealistic that like you don't have any kind of a shot of accomplishing it.
Yeah. Like a great example that would be delusional is if I said, hey, you know, at the time of the recording, this is April. And I said, hey, I'm going to in June run a triathlon.
Right.
Right. For those of you who don't know, a triathlon, it includes swimming, biking, running. Okay. There's a big piece to this puzzle that most of you don't know, but I don't swim. I don't know how to swim. Yeah. Right. So it'd be delusional to just say, oh, I'm going to go learn how to swim. And then I'm going to go learn how to bike 52 miles. And then I'm going to go run, you know, a marathon behind it. Like I just don't have the time to do that in June.
Yeah.
You know,
so and that, like literally, I don't know if you're, I mean, maybe your body could be pushed to that degree, but like, yeah, it's very unrealistic.
For sure. Right. Yeah. Now, if I said, hey, I'm going to learn how to swim this year, I'd be like, oh, okay, that might be realistic.
Yeah. You know? Maybe next June you do a triathlon. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if this is connected to this idea, but my most successful like health journey was the time that I lost 50 pounds.
Hey, congratulations. And
thank you. Some of it's back, but most of it's not. But the key central thesis of it was I have to do something that I can maintain. That was, I just said, no matter what, I have to keep being able to do it. And it was a different period of my life. I didn't have any children. I wasn't married. I ran my own business. So the things that were in my house were limited to what I bought. Mm-hmm. That was simple to control. And I could do any movement at any time of day or night. I could do all the things. And it was really walk every day, eat this amount of calories, and that was it. Because I knew I wasn't going to run every day.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I just sit there and I go in terms of I had learned by failing so many times that the winning recipe was the thing that was sustainable.
Yes.
And so now at a different season of life, I don't have the time I had. Now I have to run because I don't have time to walk.
Yeah.
And all these other things. So I want to just say out there is that there's a level to going, what's a reasonable goal, even if it doesn't feel like a lot, that there is a long-term gain. I didn't lose all that weight in a week.
Yeah.
But it didn't take that long.
Well, it really is important to figure out when it comes to your health goals, what is sustainable? Because typically we're not just trying to shoot for like a short-term goal.
Right.
Usually it's a quality of life that most of us are after when we're talking about our health. And so what is realistic? That's why like in our big three wellness challenge, I wanted to make sure all of those big three items were doable for anybody, no matter what stage of life they're in. So like I'm single. I'm like basically Nick, you when you did yours, you know, single. I don't have children. Like whatever comes in my house, it has to be brought there by me. Like nobody else is bringing in food to my house. It's just whatever I buy is in there. I get to decide when I want to work out. Like I don't have anybody telling me like, sorry, you can't because you have to watch the kids or whatever. Yeah. So I get to decide all of that. But for you, you have a really different life.
Yeah.
You know, than I do. You've got four little kids, you've got a wife. And so I wanted to make sure whatever I chose was doable for me and for you too. And for everybody else within our company and for anybody who's listening to the podcast, like you guys should be able to figure out 30 minutes of your day. And typically, and this is where my little Enneagram 8 comes out, where I'm a little tough love. But if you sit here and tell me, well, I can't, like I don't have 30 minutes of my day. Well, maybe you need to wake up 30 minutes earlier. Maybe you need to take that phone call meeting or that Zoom call meeting and do it on a phone call and go walk.
Yeah.
Like if it's important to you, you'll prioritize it. So figuring out, I think that sense of like, what is realistic, what's doable, and really getting connected to the why that you want to do this, I think is like the most critical components, and then planning accordingly. I would say like that would sum it all up. Is like figure out what you want, commit wholeheartedly to it, and then go plan accordingly.
Cohort.
go hard.
I love it.
Or like actually don't though.
We do have a bonus one real quick, is that a common mistake is if you do get injuries or health issues that come up. You know, sometimes you're trying to get a health goal, but like you have to take into account that if you do have an injury or some health issues, that it may prolong your goal.
Yep.
And that's okay.
Yep.
Like give yourself grace. I know for me, I hurt my knee about 2 months ago and it hasn't gotten rehabilitated the way I wanted to. So I had all these health goals that I wanted to do and I've just had to like modify them.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay. That's okay. Like it happens. Keep moving forward. Like what can you adjust and
what can you do?
What can I do is really important in this season.
Yeah. I think that again, my virtual trainer, she always says like, you know, if we're doing a really hard workout set, she's like, okay, if you need to, you know, modify this, go ahead and modify it. And even if the modification is too difficult for you, do something. You know, like we were doing something in plank the other day and she was like, if you can do nothing else but just hold plank right now, do that. Even if it's on your knees, just hold it. Like we were doing a whole movement kind of a thing in it. But I think that's the key is like, if you have legs that walk, you know, you're able to walk, if you do nothing else but walk, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the key is to do something. It's not to, you know, strive for perfection.
Yeah.
People sleep on walking and people would think they move more than they do. Walking
is one of the most important things to our longevity.
And listen, for people who started working from home, this is
huge. So important. Yes.
That you need to start walking because you sometimes like we work from 9 to 3. Like sometimes I start at 9 and I'm just like going till 3.
Totally.
And I don't stop. Right. And then I realize, oh my gosh, I haven't moved at all.
Yep.
You know, I probably went to a bathroom break, ate lunch real quick, but that's what? 100 steps, right?
Like right now, I mean, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and we're at the office when we're recording this. So I have walked a little bit because I walked to my car and you know, all that. But I only have 3,600 steps right now and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Like that's like actually more, if I was at home, I'd be at like 2000 or something. Cause you're just walking from like your living room to the kitchen to like your office to the bathroom.
Right. I have 783 steps today.
There you go.
And we've been here recording all day. I came straight from my bed, basically to this computer this morning.
Yeah.
And I move every day. And this is, I mean.
As a quick side note, if you are interested in the conversation on longevity, how to live a long and really healthy life, which I think is the truth, like what we're all actually after, highly recommend the docuseries on Netflix.
Is it the blue?
It's about the blue zones, which are basically these, I think it's 5 areas within the world that have the highest concentration of centurions, meaning people over 100 years old that are still living. And they've studied these places and they've identified them into what's called blue zones to figure out what are their lifestyle habits that are contributing to them living so long. And I think it's called Live to 100 is the name of the docuseries on Netflix. And it is so interesting. There's a whole book about it. It's fascinating. But one of the biggest things is regular activity and like low impact. It's like walking, gardening, things like that. Like it's not like these people are out, you know, hitting the gym every day. Most are not.
Final thoughts as we wrap up here is that for most of us, when we start to think about, can I hit my health goals? We also have to realize that we need to prioritize it by cutting things out of our lives.
Yeah.
So when sometimes people may come to you and say, I don't have enough time. It's like, well, how much time are you on social media? How much time are you on certain things? And you just got to cut those things back so you can make this a priority and figure out where you're going to end.
Right.
So that's my final thought for this episode. These are the 5 mistakes that people make in trying to achieve their health goals. I believe in you. I think you can crush them. I think you can make them. I just, for word of encouragement, I got a message the other day from a Full Focus Planner user who said that they lost 100 pounds.
Wow.
By using the Full Focus Planner.
It's incredible.
Yeah, and they've just tracked it and they've had it for years now, like how they've done it. But it's become a longevity game for them.
Wow.
For this individual. I was so pumped hearing that because I'm like, he's doing it.
Yeah.
He's making it happen. And just that progress.
Small incremental progress over time will get you there.
And now he's maintaining. He's making it happen. So,
so cool.
That's my encouragement to everybody.
Well, we would love for you to join us in the Full Focus Planner community in our Q3 Big 3 Wellness Challenge. Or Q2, I should say, not Q3. So we would love for you to join us in there. And we will share the link for the tracker if you want to track those habits on a daily basis. We're doing it. We're loving it. It's just helping us be more healthy and well human beings. Well, thanks for joining us on Focus on This.
This is the most productive podcast on the internet, so please share it with your friends and be sure to join the Full Focus Planner community on Facebook so you can benefit from the creativity and encouragement of people chasing big goals just like you.
And we'll be here next week with another fantastic episode.
Until then,
stay focused.
If you're a coach, aspire to be a coach, or want to use your influence to help other people achieve the double win, then you have to listen up. We're hosting a brand new, completely free webinar called Land More Coaching Clients, Transform Lives, and Stand Out in a Crowded Market. 5 impactful lessons from a 7-figure coach. The title says it all. Come join Michael Hyatt and Marissa to learn how to help others succeed. You've already gotten incredible feedback on the impact of this content, and if you know and love the Full Focus Planner, then you're already a step ahead. To register, go to fullfocus.co/lessons. That's fullfocus.co/lessons.